This is the Quality News Network. In Egypt, delegates from 60 countries are meeting today to discuss efforts at curbing sectarian violence in Iraq. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will meet with the Syrian foreign minister, the first such face-to-face communication between the two countries in years. Iraq's prime minister began the conference this morning by calling on the international community to forgive Iraq's foreign debts. Nouri al-Maliki says debt forgiveness is the only way his country can complete necessary reconstruction projects. As expected, Congress did not have the votes to override President Bush's veto of war funding legislation. Leaders of both parties are working on a compromise. For the third straight day, the Green Zone was struck by insurgent rocket fire. Four Filipino contractors working for the U.S. were killed. In Kabul, the Taliban blew up a bus carrying Afghan soldiers this morning. The bus driver was killed and 22 soldiers were wounded. Last night, a former Afghan prime minister was gunned down outside his home. In Tel Aviv, a mass rally is scheduled for today, calling for the resignation of Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. Earlier this week, a government report sharply criticized the prime minister for his prosecution of Israel's war against Lebanon. In the Niger Delta, 18 workers, most of them foreigners, have been kidnapped in the past 24 hours. Oil field abductions are increasingly common. Rebels say they want a larger share of the oil wealth to be given to the Nigerian people. NASA is inspecting the space shuttle rocket boosters involved in a train crash yesterday. It doesn't appear the equipment was damaged when the freight train carrying it derailed in rural Alabama. Six passengers were injured, one critically. In Los Angeles, an investigation has been launched into police actions at a May Day pro-immigrant rally. Police used batons, tear gas, and rubber bullets to break up a peaceful demonstration. Scores were injured, including reporters and camera crews from the Fox and Telemundo television networks who were broadcasting the event live. The first televised debate of Republican presidential candidates will be aired tonight on MSNBC. 10 candidates will appear. The debate will be moderated by anchor Chris Matthews. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Delegates at the UN climate change meeting in Thailand say they expect to approve a common agreement by tomorrow. Today, the 400 or so scientists and envoys are addressing the most controversial issue, how to pay the costs of curbing the emission of greenhouse gases. A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit against KFC fast food chain filed by a doctor who said customers were not informed trans fats were used to prepare the company's fried chicken. The judge threw the case out on its merits. This week, the company which owns KFC and Taco Bell announced its restaurants will no longer cook with trans fats. Recently fired talk show host Don Imus is expected to file suit against CBS claiming breach of contract. Imus's $40 million multi-year contract required him to be both controversial and irreverent. He was fired last month after a racist comment sparked public outrage. Texas Instruments will build a second factory in the Philippines. The semiconductor company says it will invest $1 billion in the new facility over the next decade. The Dow Jones Industrial broke another record yesterday, moving past 13,200 for the first time. Light sweet crude is trading at $63.98 a barrel. Gold is trading at $677.60 an ounce. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, wake up. We'll forget the push-ups today. Just wake up. It's time for the Cup of Joe Show. John Fox, still fill it in. Sorry about missing y'all yesterday. my back got the better of me, but that happens once in a while. But anyway, through the miracle of sleep and fine non-prescription drugs, we're back. Anyway, I was sitting there thinking, you know, get my show together, and I'm looking for things to talk about on Joe's show, because, you know, I try and do stuff other than my green show stuff, because, well, it's not my show. And yesterday yesterday my time. Yeah, well, yesterday your time. I'm surfing around, I'm at Raw Story, and there's a piece about Gravel and impeachment, which I found really, really interesting, to say the least. Now, where's this guy been hiding? Seriously, did I miss something? he's got a whole plan. It leads to Bush in bars, or behind bars, rather. And it says Gravel criticized the president as lousy and immoral. I'll go with that. As a lousy and immoral commander in chief, but also levied criticism at Democrats for only passing a non-binding resolution to end the war. Nor does the former senator believe simply cutting off funds would work. I filibustered to end the funding for the Vietnam War, and it was not successful, he recalled. Instead, Gravel revealed a novel plan to bring about an end to the Iraq War: impeachment, or possibly both, and perhaps even land the president behind bars. I have drafted a law that says we must get troops out of Iraq in 60 days. He said, leave all the equipment behind. The president must certify that he took troops out. If he violates this law, he should go to jail for 5 years with no parole and pay a $1 million fine. It says so right in the law. This guy don't pull no punches. He believes he can muster enough support in the House to pass the bill. If the Senate filibusters, he would urge Reid to call for a closure vote daily. The media will feed this on this like maggots. Who predicts the measure would pass and that a veto could ultimately be overridden. If the president and vice president then refuse to enact the law, he concluded, once you have them breaking the law, now you impeach. And this is an article, they ask a few of the candidates a little bit more in depth. They got some blogger to kind of, or a couple of bloggers to work their way in, and they've got a bit from Dodd as well, and they couldn't, I don't think they had any success otherwise, but do you think this guy stands any chance of not necessarily winning, but influencing the debate, maybe, possibly? Please, please, please. I mean, this is taking the bull by the horns kind of stuff, but I think that's, you know, isn't there enough out there, you know, the prosecutors thing, you know, the wiretaps, the this, the that, the other thing, the lies, the corruption, you know. I was watching some of the Halliburton, of the Halliburton hearings, and wow, that I don't have any of the details in front of me, but that like CEO president woman from Halliburton a couple times did not like what she was being asked. Ooh, that was just so much fun. She tried to skate and dance and ended up getting just hammered. And this is, I hadn't really heard anything that this was actually going to be happening, and just suddenly, all of a sudden, kabang, they're off. And I think that's just another very interesting development as of late that I've seen. I don't know about anybody else, because I've been really focused on some things over here, which one is starting to get involved with the cleanup of the dioxin that is all over the joint near us, but I'm going to save that. I've still got lots of research to do. But you know, the debate itself seemed like it was an absolute just almost useless exercise. But aside from Kucinich and this guy, Gravel, I mean, just does he is he just out there to, you know, know that he doesn't have a chance, but he's going to try and make as much noise about the right things as possible? I don't know. I wonder if he's real about it. I for one cannot tell. But the Halliburton hearings could prove to be very interesting. I have a feeling if there's more of that coming up on C-SPAN, I'll be spending some late nights up watching the C-SPAN stream, because like Gonzalez, it made for just absolutely genius watching. Our viewing was just fantastic. I'm not going to go there quite yet, because we're about to come on to the first break, but I've got some a little bit more on that Walmart thing that I covered the other day with Human Rights Watch coming out with this report on their union busting, and there's some more accounts of some of the tactics that were used to keep the unions out, and they kind of say that, you know, they're not the only ones, however, they make everyone else look pale in comparison to themselves. It's pretty kind of cutthroat and almost out in the open is what it's starting to look like. I was having a little bit more of a scan of the whole report, and it's whoa, completely against all, you know, international rights to organize. I mean, it's just a bit scary. but I mean, what do you think? If you want to get in on this, I've got, and we're going to play, I want to play, if anyone wants to get in on it, I want to play a little bit of What If on a subject a little bit later. Because, I don't know, I feel like I'm constantly just throwing things out all the time, and, you know, what about thinking really what some of this stuff can mean, or if some situations don't change, or if some of them change in dramatic fashion. I'm probably going to do a little bit of this in my show as well. But anyway, stick around. You're listening to the Cup of Joe Radio Show. John Fox filling in from Sydney, Australia. Just, you're on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be back after this.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast. It's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. John Fox filling in for the man while he's moving. Wonder how he's going with that internet connection. The lifeblood of being a host on the Head On Radio Network. Jeez, it's the veins. It's the entire circulatory system of this network. So, we're going to play What If in a little while if anyone wants to take part. I'll do it by myself if I have to. Before I get into this Walmart thing, let you think about it for a minute. You know, it's been global warming TV over here recently. Like, you know, both of the networks with souls, one being the ABC and the other one being SBS, the Special Broadcasting Service, have been showing, like, every documentary from everywhere. And you get all these, like, you know, predictions of different things that are going to happen at some point if we don't change something. So, and this is not just with the environment, this is with labor relations. I think this Walmart thing applies to similar situations. And we talk about things that will eventually happen. But we never talk about, in real-world terms, what happens not between nations or between land masses and, you know, between workers and the capitalists, you know, to be completely leftist about it. And Joe has many times, you know, made the statement that everyone, you know, all the workers just need to go on strike. And it's
because of, you know, keeping it, you know, difficult for a lot of people financially, and people being, you know, two paychecks from the streets. You know, 70% of Americans, I hear, living paycheck to paycheck and in high debt. If, you know, forces came together that made it possible for the working class, the seriously working class, to go on strike for 30 days and just shut down all industry. Because, I mean, the right to work states in the United States, work choices, you know, how Orwellian over here. And there's stories of this all over the planet of the deunionizing and the stripping away of workers' ability to negotiate en masse, as opposed to this, you know, the worker against the company. And I mean, and in this day and age, the company can, you know, take up land masses in, you know, 40 countries and call none of them home. So what do you think would happen? Okay. I'll put a few suspensions of belief into the equation. We've stockpiled the foodstuffs to be able to live through the 30 days, and that's a huge thing. What happens on day one? What happens on day 8? What would actually happen to you in your day-to-day life? What would you possibly lose? Do you think order could be held? Would this include the police? If it didn't, what do you think would happen? What do you reckon? I reckon there could be some really, really heavy consequences. Now, not saying that I disagree with the idea at all, but could you picture if 40% of the working people, just 40% of the population, just stopped? And imagine if they were the poorest workers in the U.S. What would happen to your food? What would happen to your, I don't know, petrol? All, you know. And I don't know. What do you think would happen to law and order? That's the one that always interests me, because you will end up with people who hadn't prepared. But anyway, on that vibe, I covered the other day about Walmart and Human Rights Watch coming out with this report that just really, really just sheds a light. We played the audio from the training videos, and they were just horrible, and they were just absolutely so. It was like they were talking to children. That was what I found really, really disgusting about them. They were. It was as though children were speaking to children, or, you know, adults who have spent way too much time with large groups of children speak. But anyway, Walmart's union stance attacked, and there's a little bit more information. And this is from the Washington Post. Blah, 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 all the details about being the largest employer. But Walmart criticized the report as relying on incomplete interviews and unsubstantiated allegations. Well, how many times did they not return calls, as by what I read in the report? It accused the group of using the findings to bolster support for the Employee Free Choice Act, a bill that would make it easier for workers to organize unions and would represent one of the most significant revisions of federal labor law in 60 years. Human Rights Watch endorsed the bill, and in its report, it enlisted House Education and Labor Committee Chairman George Miller, who sponsored the bill, to speak on behalf of it in a conference call with reporters yesterday. Human Rights Watch acknowledged that many companies employ similar tactics to keep unions out, but study author Carol Peer, the group's senior researcher for labor rights, said Walmart's efforts dwarfed those of several of its competitors combined. Walmart does not does stand out for the sheer magnitude and aggressiveness of its anti-union apparatus, she said. Human Rights Watch said it began investigating Walmart's stance on unions in 2004 after reports of extreme measures it took to keep unions out. One of the most cited examples came in 2000 when 11 meat cutters at a Texas store won union recognition. In the first in the company's history, soon after, Walmart eliminated the positions at 180 stores in six states. It is said the two events were not related. In 2005, Walmart shuttered a store in Canada after workers voted to unionize. At the time, the company said the employees' demands would have made it impossible for the store to sustain its business. But last year, Walmart said it would allow all China Federation of Trade Unions to set up outlets and stores in China. Now, is there an example of just who allows these things to happen? Because obviously there's still enough money to be made. The report says there were 15 rulings against Walmart by the National Labor Relations Board between January 2000 and 2005 and still stand, compared with four rulings against rivals Albertsons, Costco, Kmart, Kroger, Home Depot, Sears, and Target combined. In one case in Pennsylvania, the report says the NLRB found that Walmart illegally transferred union supporters out of a store and brought in union opponents to dilute efforts to organize. Oh my, they're putting plants in. That's just insane. Harley Shaken, a professor at University of California at Berkeley who specializes in labor issues, called the report a devastating critique of Walmart's labor practices. They don't come off well, he said. There's just not a sense of openness and engagement that they have so carefully tried to foster. I think that lays it out pretty clearly. And, you know, but they're not the only ones, but most definitely the worst. And what if just the workers from Walmart walked off for a month? That could be interesting. I reckon that could be very interesting. I wonder how fast they just try and clear the table and just train on the spot. I wonder if they just cut them all off, if they're that. Or, well, will this actually do something? I wonder if this could end up turning into this legislation. That would be that'd be an interesting step. But workers' rights, what I've seen happen in this country over the last 2 years has just been unbelievable. And the government who put it in doesn't even release their own figures, but yet they just keep saying how great it is. And meanwhile, all you hear is report after report of everything from, you know, similar tactics to, you know, threats of losing jobs, just absolute false information campaigns. That's the weirdest part. It's like listening to people who live in a different universe. They're absolutely insane.
But anyway, we're coming up on our bottom of the hour break. We'll take that. And you're listening to the Cup of Joe Show. This is John Fox filling in on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. What do you think? I want to hear from you. And so stick around. We'll be right back.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office 1-888-384-5249.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
There are plenty of ways that the UAW could, operating strategically and tactically smart, cause a lot of problems for the auto companies and, frankly, probably freeze the demand for reduction of further benefits and perhaps even the job loss.
Jerry Tucker, former member of the UAW International Executive Board and co-founder of the Center for Labor Renewal. Tucker says with tens of thousands of jobs lost, the UAW is facing more concessionary pressure from U.S. automakers after more than 20 years of UAW cooperation. It's an assault on the bedrock middle-class manufacturing wage and benefits standard, and Tucker says the UAW needs a brand new approach to effectively struggle for workers.
The whole concept of how one builds a fight-back strategy has got to change. You cannot, the old saying, make an omelet without breaking some eggs. At this point, we need to really have a whole new strategic development, which not only includes a struggle at the point of domestic production and perhaps even consumption, but something that links workers and unions around the globe together.
Tucker believes the UAW should demand the U.S. automakers actively push for universal single-payer national health care, as they've done in Canada.
Not only a line should be drawn in the sand, but actually a trench should be dug.
Security screeners at Kansas City International Airport are expected to vote in favor of union representation this weekend, making them the first organized private screeners in the country. Jesse Russell reports.
Last year, the Union Security Police and Fire Professionals of America fell only a few votes short of winning union representation of security screeners at Kansas City International Airport. 470 employees of First Line Transportation Security Incorporated are voting once again between now and Saturday. The SPFPA says they expect to win the vote because of low morale amongst workers due to high employee turnover and workers being forced to take on extra shifts or overtime is contributing to a positive atmosphere for unionization. On the heels of this vote is a vote by private screeners at Rochester, New York Airport. Only 5 airports in the country use private screeners, and the SPFPA is the only union that the National Labor Relations Board has certified to represent private screeners.
Circuit City faced pressure on Tuesday from the industrial workers of the world. Members of the IWW picketed in front of a Circuit City in Albany, New York, protesting a managerial decision to fire 3,400 employees and replace them with lower-paid workers. The protesters are encouraging a boycott of the company for outrageous corporate greed.
Here is today's economic report. A new study from the Better Sleep Council finds that a lack of decent sleep impacts the quality of work, judgment, and the ability to retain information of employees. According to a survey released to correspond with Better Sleep Month, 44% of respondents said a lack of good sleep also impacts their mood while on the job. As a result of poor sleep, 17% say they will occasionally take a quick nap.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If
you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show. John Fox filling in for you here. And the guy is an embarrassment. I mean, he's an absolute embarrassment. So, you know, first we had I'm the Decider. Now we need, you know, Peter to ring in the Bob show some point and go, I'm the commander guy. I'm the commander guy. He sounds like a 5-year-old. All right, let's play war, and I'm the commander guy. Pardon me. No, I want to be the commander guy. All right, Dick, you can run the show, but I want to be called Commander Guy. It's embarrassing. The question is, who ought to make that decision? The Congress or the commanders? Bush told the crowd, as you know, my position is clear. I'm the Commander Guy. I'm the Commander Guy. Delusional. I really wonder if he's starting to approach the point of being delusional. And there was the dancing episode. That was fun. Not. And you know that every one of those drummers and those dancers were just laughing at him. Saying, can you believe this fool? You're insane. But hey, we knew that. I think Sheryl Crow said it best a couple of years ago when she was touring here, and every single venue that she walked into Australia, she'd just look at everybody and say, don't say anything, would walk on stage, and the first thing out of her mouth would just be, please don't hold it against me, I didn't vote for him. He's embarrassing. And that emailer who I have, who keeps telling me not to laugh at inappropriate times, I'm sorry, it's a nervous reaction. This stuff scares me, and that's how I cope with it. Oh my God. Absolutely nuts. Oh. So, I wonder what's going to happen with, if anything's ever going to become of the situation with Walmart. I mean, I wonder what they can actually do about it. You know, they got so much money they could fight for years, and they'll probably just keep staving it off as long as they can. I wonder if they can do anything about it. But anyway. Drives you crazy when you hear this stuff. You know, we're having really, really, it's kind of a similar, we've got such similar things going on here, and there really were these sweeping changes a few years back. And it's been really kind of interesting to watch how the mud has just suddenly, like a switch, gone on with this debate over here, because this whole individual workplace agreement thing that they've done over here has actually been deemed unconstitutional here in Australia. But, you know, again, it's similar to what Bush has done for so long, and they're finally putting a stop to, is just kind of dictating, and then when he's told he can't, he ignores, and he does signing statements, and he does all this other, you know, just kind of, you know, again, like a five-year-old child. But I don't wanna, and that doesn't apply to me, because I'm a spoiled brat who's never had to do anything for himself in his life. You know, the only person in history known to not find oil in Bahrain. And sometimes the irony of him having been a cheerleader, just so, it's so appropriate. Because that's all he is a cheerleader. Yeah, can we put Bush in timeout? Yeah, that would be nice. And I was even saying that these two political comedians that do a thing once a week here on the ABC, every time they do Howard, that it's always this guy doing an interview, and then the other guy plays anyone he wants, you know, whoever the subject is, in the government or in you know, the spotlight business, whatever. But they do Howard a lot, and lately they've been just treating it like you're talking to a bloody 10-year-old boy on the playground who's just, you know, Frank Burns. You know, Frank Burns with more attitude. And they keep, you know, saying, and you're not playing nice with the new kid. Ah, the new kid, he's dumb, you know, and that's really what it's like over here. It seriously looks like a playground gone wrong at a school of brats watching Parliament in this country sometimes, and it's improved since Kevin Rudd's taken over, but it was really bad during Kim Beazley. He had lost the ability to ever, when he was speaking, take command of the Parliament. It would just be all this crisscross shouting, and you know, you watch this and you go, you guys are getting paid to represent us, and this is how you act? I mean, come on. That's just pathetic. You know, and you're grown men. But, you know, and we've been watching this slinging match go back and forth, and Kevin Rudd has said, you know, he's going to tear up all these contracts, but he's come up with this really, really good idea, and kind of all the different aspects of occupational health and safety and unfair dismissals and workmen's compensation and all these different things were kind of like all different arms. And they want to bring them all together and make it one database. So it's like one-stop shopping. Employers, workers, everybody. They can get all the information that they want and need. And it all comes from one source, so it would all be tied together. There'll be less misunderstandings, less nonsense. And a whole bunch of people tried to have their knee-jerk reactions, but they suddenly had to stop and think about it for a minute. Because it's actually they actually have put a really, really good idea together, I think, from what I've seen. And so they're saying, look, we will give you this for this. Let us go back to allowing, you know, bloody organized bargaining for workers again, and we'll give you this thing that there's no chance for crisscross of information. It all comes from one place. It's all legislated from the same place. And then they have an ombudsman. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And so there's been a head scratching going on, and it's looking like, you know, and then the unions kind of went, and then they went, wait a minute. Hold on a second. And the mining sector has gone kaplooey about it, and we'll see if it happens there, because they're pretty huge, but they're kind of the problem a little bit. But anyway, we're coming up on our last break, so hang on. We got more to come on the Cup of Joe show. This is John Fox coming to you from Sydney, Australia, filling in, and you're listening to the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be right back.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II, that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Beth, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe show. And so I'm just kind of clicking around during the break, and I went to actually the front page of the Horn there to go and just check something out.
and something along the lines where I was saying the what ifs. And this is kind of along what I was thinking about is you know, we talk about all these things that are going to happen if something isn't done, whatever it is. And, you know, what's going to happen if these things take place? And one of the bloggers has put up a thing from Joel S. Hirschhorn. Economic Armageddon is coming. And it says, stop being a compliant consumer. Face the ugly truth. Don't get fooled by the stock market. Accept the need for the mistreated middle class to become the revolutionary class. The British military establishment's most prestigious think tank sees what too few over-consuming Americans are willing to anticipate. Unjustified and mounting economic inequality is planting the seeds for global economic conflict. Here is what the new report from the UK Defence Ministry's Development Concepts and Doctrine Centre warned might happen by 2035. The middle classes could become a revolutionary class. The growing gap between themselves and a small number of highly visible super-rich individuals might fuel delusion with meritocracy, while the following urban underclasses are likely to pose an increased threat. Faced by these twin challenges, the world's middle classes might unite, using access to knowledge, resources, and skills to shape transitional processes in their own class interest. Consider the wisdom of economic John Maynard Keynes. The rich are tolerable only as long as their gains appear to bear some relation to roughly what they have contributed to society. Think of it as a proportional and justified economic success. This can be tolerated by poor and middle class people if they believe the economic system is fair and properly rewards those who work hard or have better capabilities. But true obscene rewards angers people. When most prosperity and wealth is unfairly channeled and relatively few upper class people, it is only a matter of time until fuming, resentful people in the lower class decide enough is enough and revolt. Perhaps violently, if the political system remains controlled by the upper class. I'm going to just read the last paragraph because this is great. A ton of data demonstrates how crazy our economics can become, where relatively few receive astronomical gains that no rational person could see as justified. One study tracked down home ownership data of 488 CEOs in the S&P 500 index set of companies. The typical home of the CEO has 12 rooms, sits on 5.37 acres, and carries a $3.1 million price tag. Companies big enough to rate S&P 500 status hiked their median CEO pay by 23.78% in 2006, up to $14.8 million. In comparison, U.S. workers' weekly wages rose just 3.5% in 2006. And so this is where a whole bunch of what-ifs come up. I had a different one from my show. And this thing goes on for quite a while. What does this guy do? Hirschhorn has written a book called Delusional Democracy, Fixing the Republic Without Overthrowing the Government. Huh. Interesting. Interesting. Do those at the top pay their fair share of taxes? Middle-class Americans, after nearly 30 years of tax cutting, are now paying about the same share of their incomes in federal taxes they paid before Ronald Reagan entered politics. In contrast, America's richest have seen the share of their incomes that goes to federal taxes cut by over a half. That's what happens in a failed democracy, and the rich control the political system. Hello. Hello. This gets interesting. What the future holds for the victimized middle class will not only depend on the uncontrolled greed of the wealthy upper class and its control of the political system. Sound familiar, any of this? Anyone? It will also be linked to the upcoming tsunami of global warming impacts on climate, sea level, water supplies, crops, and disease. There will be devastating impacts on hundreds of millions and perhaps billions of people worldwide. Lower class people will be sacrificed, left to suffer the consequences. The rich will retreat to their walled, protected, and well-stocked havens.
Eek!
Just read the last paragraph. What the future holds. Lower class economic slaves fighting to survive in a medieval, ugly, and bleak world. This is happy, so that so many science fiction stories have portrayed. In that hell, their best option will be to rise up and revolt against the rich and powerful upper class. With such a prospect, global class war on a sick planet, prevention is a priority. For us, that requires paying much more attention to economic inequality, economic justice, economic apartheid, and the many attacks on the middle class. If not, we get economic Armageddon along with environmental disaster. And for my next act, kind of funny that this pops up after kind of where my own brain has been kind of flowing all day, is, you know, how in general short-sighted are we when we talk about all these issues that we have in this world and in our countries, and, you know, and the changes are going to come. It's whether or not we decide to make them. You know, all this economic injustice and inequity, the environment, the whole idea of actual workers' rights, the whole idea of actual liberty and freedom, which has been pretty well, you know, beaten to death and torn apart. You know, I mean, even the UK, geez, you know, talk about Spyville over there. There's one camera for every 7 Britons. How's that for Orwell for you? and with that, we're going to wrap it up and head on into the news. So, as you know, the Cup of Joe show is brought to you by unreportednews.net. And thank you to Agnes and Bob for producing so far today. They've been playing tag team. Thanks to the mods in the chat room. Thanks to our bloggers. Thanks to the carpenters. And thanks to you. So stick around. We got the news, and then it's time for my show, Foxed Up. Got some whole bunch of stuff. So anyway, stick around. We'll see you in a bit. And hey, 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 get back to work.
Don't give me no money, 'cause what I really
This is the Quality News Network. In Egypt, delegates from 60 countries are meeting today to discuss ending sectarian violence in Iraq. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will also meet face-to-face with the Syrian foreign minister, the first such contact in 2 years. Iraq's prime minister began the conference this morning by asking the international community to forgive Iraq's foreign debts. Nouri al-Maliki says debt forgiveness is the only way his country can complete necessary reconstruction projects. As expected, Congress did not have the votes to override President Bush's veto of a war funding bill, which included an October 1st deadline to bring the troops home. Leaders of both parties are now working on a compromise. For the third straight day, the Green Zone was struck by insurgent rocket fire. 4 Filipino contractors working for the U.S. were killed. In Kabul, a bus carrying Afghan soldiers was blown up by the Taliban this morning. The bus driver was killed and 22 soldiers were wounded. Last night, a former Afghan prime minister was also killed when he was shot outside his home. In Tel Aviv, a mass rally is scheduled today calling for the resignation of Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. The prime minister was the target of a scathing report earlier this week, which blamed him for the failure of the 34-day war in Lebanon against Hezbollah. In the Niger Delta, 18 workers have been kidnapped in the past 24 hours. Local rebels who want more of the oil field proceeds distributed among the local villagers are responsible for the oil field abductions, which are becoming more commonplace in the region. NASA is inspecting the space shuttle rocket boosters involved in a train crash yesterday. It does not appear the equipment was damaged when the freight train carrying it derailed in rural Alabama. 6 passengers were killed, 1 critically. In Los Angeles, an investigation has been launched into police actions at a May Day pro-immigrant rally. Police used batons, tear gas, and rubber bullets to break up a peaceful demonstration. Scores were injured, including reporters and camera crews from the Fox and Telemundo television networks. In Belmont, California, an SUV driven by a 70-year-old lost control outside of a middle school yesterday and crashed into a group of students waiting for a bus. 13 children were injured. 2 injured. 2